Is there a handout? Here, there's one. Here comes Anthony with handouts. I'll carry on. Because as we go, I would like to encourage you to be filling this in so you can take it home with you to remember who you are and whose you are. Now, one of the things I'm looking forward to in February is the Six Nations. Any rugby fans here? I'm looking forward to the rugby next week. And pleased I'm going to be watching it on a TV as opposed to in a stadium, because it'll be cold wherever it is. Now, rugby at this time of the year, it reminds me of when I was standing on the touchline in my school days, in my shorts. Any of you who are still at school, you are probably still living this very real experience of being made to go out in the cold in all weathers and stand there in the freezing. And I still remember having to stand on the touchline. You'd all stand on the touchline together, and they'd choose two captains. And I still remember that sense of fear. Please, can I be picked and not be last to be picked? That horrible fear of not being chosen. That horrible fear of everyone else being picked. And even that fear of, what, him? He's been picked before me. I don't believe it. Or whatever it was, that horrible fear that wells up. And you think, pick me, please. Well, as we go into this new year, you are God's first choice. You. He chooses you and says, come. Come. You are on my side. Come. Now, one of the things I'm not going to give you tonight is a to-do list. There can be nothing worse sometimes. We get enough of that all week, don't we? Got to do this and got to do that. What instead I'm giving you tonight is a to-be list. Okay? So it's not about what you do. It's about how you are. Now, what I do need to help, I haven't pre-organized this or anything. I need a volunteer who's good at writing. Can someone come and write for me on the whiteboard? Thank you. Up you come. Brilliant. And you might want to bring your little piece of paper with you, because I wouldn't mind you just drawing a big circle on the whiteboard. And then you can just add whatever words you want. No, obviously the words that I'm going to roughly tell you. So if you just draw a circle with a cross in the middle, that's fab. That's fab, nice and big. That is great. And just as, have you got pens and pencils? You got something to, great. As we go, we're going to fill in the four quarters of this. Because these are four areas I want you to just take on board the year ahead. Remember, God looks you in the eye, it's like this tonight, and he says, I choose you. I choose you. And so the first quarter here, if you just write acceptance, you and I, as those who try to follow Jesus, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to follow him. We're trying to be obedient to him, trying to listen to him. You and I need to know that we are accepted. You know, I became a Christian when I was 13. It was at a summer camp, a summer camp in Cornwall somewhere. And I still remember the story. It was the parable of the lost son. That I just heard the story preached, Luke 15, verse 20 particularly. And the son walks away from God, from his father, and then he says, oh, I'm just so bad, but I've run out of money. It's the end of the world. I've got to go back and face my dad. And so he dreads going back, but I'm just going to pour out my heart to my dad. And so he does, he goes to his father and says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, I'm so sorry. And what does his father do? Well, the Bible says not only this, well, the dad who is looking out for his son, the Bible says this. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The most extraordinary show of love. Now, a Middle Eastern man in that time would not run anywhere. Someone else would run for him. So he completely broke the rules. He was just so pleased to see his boy. And in the same way, you and I need to know, you can write that, Luke 15, verse 20. You and I need to know, as we go into this new year, that you are accepted. When you turn towards God and say, I'm going to follow you, God, I turn away from that way of living, and I turn to follow you, he is just so pleased. You know, 1 John, you can write this verse down as well. 1 John 3 verse 1 says that you and I are called children of God. Bible says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You and I are children of God. We are acceptable to God. Romans 8 verse 1 says there's no condemnation. You know, your heavenly Father does not look at you and go, oh dear, why did they do that? Or, oh dear, I've told them not to do that. He doesn't look at you in despair. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. He is, as it were, the perfect Father. You're loved by the Father. John 16, verse 27, loved. Know the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Question. With that in mind, that you are accepted by God, how are you going to behave differently in 2019? What difference will the fact that you are acceptable to God, what difference will that make? Okay, second one. And I wonder if you could just draw an arrow round here, because this is the cycle that was talked about earlier. And then there's another arrow here. And that second quarter is sustenance. Sustenance. Number two, you and I are renewed through depending on God. We read this in Ephesians 2 verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his loving kindness to us in Jesus Christ. He just lavishes us with sustenance. What do I mean by this? Do you know, I love that passage in Matthew 5, verse 6, where it says how, well, it's one of the Beatitudes, in fact, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That sense of he is going to provide. That passage again in the Sermon of the Mount, when Jesus talks about if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, this is Matthew 6 verse 30, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith, he says. Just the importance of knowing that God is you and you're my sustainer. He is going to provide for us. One of the verses I've been meditating on today is Psalm 55, verse 22. It's a great verse just to remember. Here it is, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. Now we know that from the New Testament. Cast your burden. In fact, I could probably sing the children's song about it. I'm not going to. Cast your burden onto the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. He will sustain you. Now, question. As you look into 2019, what are you leaning on and relying on that is not Jesus? What is sustaining you that is not God himself? Because this is the wonderful thing about being chosen and accepted as children of God, is he says, look, come to me. I am your sustainer. I am he. I want to sustain you. I sustain you. What might you do differently in 2019 with this in mind? How might you act differently? How might you be different, knowing that God is your provider and your sustainer? I wonder if there's something that you're wrestling with right now. Is there something you need to trust in God for? And he's saying, trust me. I'm your provider. Thirdly, the third quarter in this cycle. Well done for keeping up. Well done. The third one is significance. Our sense of identity. Ephesians 6 speaks about this. Ephesians 2 verse 6 even, sorry. It says here, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8 verses 14 to 17. You're doing a very good job, by the way. What's your name?
Grace.
Grace. Perfect. Perfectly named young person for tonight's talk, Grace. That's all. It's all about God's grace. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You and I, we are God's children. We are adopted as sons and daughters, and we can cry out to God, Dad, Father God, Dad. I was doing something earlier today, just in my study, working, as you do on a Sunday, and when you're a vicar, and I had this call from the other room. My daughter, and she's 14 now, and she's already playing the piano far better than I am. So this never really happens anymore. And she said to me, Dad, could you come and help me with a cord? I'm stuck on a cord. And I thought, my goodness, this is my moment. This won't happen for much longer. But while I still can, I'm going to. So I went through and I said, look, you do it like this. And then I was like, I can't believe you're learning this piece. This was about the pinnacle of my grade fourness in piano. but that call from the other room, Dad, could you come and help me? And the importance that we need to take away from this is that you and I, we are children of God. He is our Heavenly Father. Our identity should be in Him alone. Should be in Him alone. Question. If our identity is found in Him alone, what difference does that make to the way we might live? And so we move to number four, the fourth quarter. And this is achievement. Achievement. And you can read about this in Ephesians 2, verse 10. What this speaks of, this fourth part of this cycle, is the knowledge, as Jesus says on the cross in John 19 verse 30, just that most powerful moment when he's on the cross. We've just been singing about it in that song. When he's on the cross and he literally, his last words, he says, oh, it is finished. It is finished. And he bows his head, doesn't he? And he dies. It is finished. Everything has been achieved on the cross through Jesus Christ. It is finished. Do you know, this is really important for us because I think sometimes, remember I said it's not a to-do list, I think we can think, I've got to be a better Christian. I've got to work harder. I've got to try more. I've got to pray for longer. I've got to read more of my Bible. I've got to, whatever it is. I've got to give more. I've got to, you know, strive, strive, strive. And Paul addresses this when he speaks to the writes to the Romans in Romans 3, verse 24. Really pivotal verse. The verse is that you and I are saved by grace. It's not about what you and I do. It's about our trust in Jesus. So I just give these four, well done, Grace, you've done a good job. You've got nicer writing than I have, I've got to say. Those four things, acceptance, achievement, significance, sustenance, are so important. I've got one last question for you now. Sorry, all my questions. The last question is this. If there's one area that you want to grow in this year to come, what might it be? Knowing, is it more that you're accepted by God as His child? Knowing more that you are sustained by God and that He's your provider? Knowing more that you are significant to God and your identity is found in Him? Or is it knowing more that actually He's done it all? It's by grace that you and I are saved. Why don't you just turn to your neighbor and ask them before they can ask you, which one of the four is it for you? Which one do you want to grow in most in this year to come? Go on, turn to your neighbor and ask them.